welcome to a new edition of Mercenary Musings Radio, a bi-weekly audio program featuring mining analyst and commodities expert, the mercenary geologist, Mickey Fulp. We are your most trusted source for in-depth analysis and commentary on commodities, mining, and the junior resource sector. And joining us from his home turf of Albuquerque, New Mexico, is the mercenary geologist himself, Mickey Fulp. Mickey, on the last show, you mentioned that you would be buried under paperwork because it is tax time. Did you get it all done yet for Uncle Sam?
Not yet, but there'll be a check in the mail tomorrow.
A nice big fat one, I'm assuming, too. Unfortunately for you, right?
Well, you make it, you got to pay it.
Indeed. Okay, well, we've been working our way through the base metals, Mickey. Lead and zinc covered over the past couple of shows. We're now on to tin. I'm reading that tin is the 49th most abundant element in the Earth's crust. We got to go all the way back to, what, around 3,000-2,500 BC for its origins. One of the oldest metals known to mankind. Tell us about its characteristics, its early discovery, etc.
It's number 50 on the periodic table, a bit to the right, so doesn't have has some different metal characteristics. We're working our way through the base metals in terms of world consumption. Mm-hmm. As you mentioned, it's not very abundant, only 2 ppm, has the most stable isotopes, but it has some very interesting characteristics that make it usable. It's very soft, it's malleable, it's ductile, silvery white, a very low melting point, which explains why it was used and known since antiquity, corrosion resistant and non-toxic.
And Mickey, I read that the first tin artifacts date back to about 2000 BC, but it wasn't until about 1800 BC that tin smelting became common. Is that accurate? Is that what you have found in your research? And can you go a little bit further into depth in terms of how it was first used?
Well, I think you're accurate there. The data I saw, it ushered in the Bronze Age. So bronze is actually an alloy of tin and copper, and it dates from about 3000 BC. Elemental tin was first isolated or discovered very early on in 600 BC. So the Bronze Age was a very important achievement for mankind, and a lot of that has to do with it occurs in placer deposits, in other words, eroded from rock and deposited in stream beds. Mm-hmm. And there it's the mineral cassiterite, which is a tin oxide commonly called wood tin. The modern day usage is started in the early 1800s with the plating of steel in tin cans in England. And this comes from the production in the Plymouth, historic Plymouth district of southwest England, very famous place. And so that's where the first modern uses were developed. Today it's used mainly as solders. Mm-hmm. About 50% is used as solder.
Okay, let's talk about global production and the demand for tin. What have you been able to find out in your research? I've seen some figures for 2011 detailing 383,000 or so metric tons per annum. That's not a lot, is it?
No, it isn't, but it really is I consider it a critical metal for modern day society, basically with its use as plating, tin cans, and solder. World mine production is considerably less, about 250,000 tons a year, more or less. Mm-hmm. And so secondary supplies are very important. We just really aren't finding enough good tin deposits, and haven't been for quite some time. Most of the mining, about well over 50%, is artisanal mining, especially in Southeast Asia.
Okay, so once again, China is a big name in this game, is it?
Well, China is a big name in the game. Produces about somewhere well over 40% of the mines of the world's production. But increasingly, they are shutting down small operations, basically over pollution concerns, and they have increased domestic use. So the rest of the world's been suffering a bit in that regard.
Okay, now you and I are, of course, we're all familiar with the story about, or the theory about peak oil. I've seen that word used in relation to tin in some stories, peak tin. Have we passed the peak in tin production in the world, and is there enough out there right now, do you think, to meet demand?
Well, that's debatable. I'm not a proponent of peak anything. When we need it, we'll find it, or we'll find substitutes. And as you're probably well aware, there are increasing substitutes for food packaging.
Mm-hmm.
Aluminum cans for beverages now is about 100%. You don't see steel-lined cans in, or steel cans with tin plating anymore, but you've got aluminum, glass, paper, plastics can substitute. There's some substitutes being developed for solders, basically because of the concern with the lead content of solders. Epoxies are substitutes. But that said, we just really aren't finding enough new tin deposits.
Okay, well, let me jump in here, Mickey. I'd like to talk about the price of tin and the trading of tin, because I found it a really fascinating story here. Tin first started trading on the LME, London Metal Exchange, back in 1877. By the time we got to the mid to late 1980s, though, there was a, quote, tin crisis. Tin was actually delisted from the LME for about 3 years. I think we saw the price got all the way down to about $4 U.S. a pound. What happened? What took place?
Well, let's go back a little bit. There was a international tin agreements starting in 1921. It was basically a cartel set up to regulate prices. And so by 1985 or so, this cartel had collapsed. And what really happened in the, from, say, the early 1970s to about 1980, if you mm-hmm. remember, we had very rampant inflation, basically tied to the oil price mm-hmm. from 1973 on. So what happened was the U.S. started selling its stockpiles, and the International Tin Council, under these agreements, was trying to buffer price through its stockpiles.
Mm-hmm.
So as the U.S. was selling, the ITC was borrowing money to buy tin, and as the price was increasing, so they exhausted their credit. The cartel failed, the tin price collapsed, and at that point the LME delisted and the cartel dissolved for tin. It just goes to show you that the market manipulation ultimately is going to fail, but it did lead to very volatile tin prices
mm-hmm.
for a while, and even recently, or well, let's say from 1989, the tin price collapsed again from $4.50 to less than $3. It generally traded in the 250 plus or minus range till about mid-2003, when the commodities boom started. And we've had pretty much persistent rising prices since then, with the exception of two parabolic spikes, pre and post 2008 crisis. It hit 1175 before collapsing, and then the latest round was from Q2 of 2010 to Q3 of 2011, when the tin price hit 1475 before collapsing again.
Mm-hmm.
It remains volatile, 52-week high and low, $8 to 11.43, currently trading at $10.30.
Right.
So it's a volatile market.
Okay, that
very speculative.
Very speculative. We have a price, you said, right now trading around $10.30 U.S. a pound. Is that an attractive price from an investing point of view? And when you consider global production and use of tin right now, is the tin story one that investors can take a look at, do you think, or should take a look at?
Well, it certainly is of interest. The problem is nobody seems to be able to find any good tin deposits. There's a general supply deficit in primary production.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the solution to that is increased recycling, with the secondary market increasing its percent on just about a year by year basis. So there are some tin opportunities, but as I said before, most of the world's tin is produced in developing or poor developing countries, especially in Southeast Asia, from artisanal mining. So placer mines are probably not going to get anybody's interest in trying to develop large mines or actually make money at it. So there are hard rock tin opportunities in the old districts in the world, and that would include the aforementioned Cornwall district of southwest England near Plymouth. Peru remains a very big producer. Bolivia, nobody will touch Bolivia as long as they have a leftist government in it. Eastern Germany and the old historic Erzberger district. There's a couple of companies exploring for tin there. Problem is nobody's been able to find anything of significance, in my opinion.
Okay, well, let's wrap it up there, Mickey. We're going to do it all over again in about 2 weeks' time. What are you going to have on the menu for us?
Well, we'll go to the next most important base metal, and that's antimony, a metal that I think is very interesting, and there may be some opportunities for juniors in that space.
Okay, we'll talk antimony in about 2 weeks' time. Great stuff, Mickey, and we'll talk to you later. Thanks very much.
Well, thank you, Rob. Always a pleasure.
That's Mickey Fulp, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. And you can always hear Mickey's latest opinion exclusively on mercenarygeologist.fm and kitco.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.